Now we're going to discuss the first reading, which is Acts 6, 1 to 7, and then the Psalm, which is Psalm 33, a medley of verses, 1, 2, 4, 5, 18, 19. And you'll see, I hope, some why it ties in with this reading. This reading is a beautiful example of grace-filled humanity. They have a problem. And how do they solve it? You see, they don't hire a lawyer. They go to God. And they pray. And they come up with a solution. And they propose it to the whole community. And the whole community agrees, and that's the solution. And it was a real problem and an embarrassing problem. Because we've already heard that the whole early community was of one heart and one mind. And then if they had goods, they sold them and put them at the feet of the apostles. And now we're going to hear about how the widows of one group were neglected and the widows of the other group were not. So you see, the selling and giving was not part of an entrance requirement. It was what some did. Even when they're discussing that, they stop to tell us that Barnabas did it. Well, if everybody had to do it, you wouldn't have to stop and tell us that Barnabas did it. And then you remember Ananias and Sapphira, they tried to get credit for doing it, though they hadn't done it. That was a dangerous move, because they both dropped dead. So it's just a beautiful text for that reason. You see, in those days, as the disciples were increasing, some murmuring occurred on the part of the Hellenists. Well, the word for murmuring is the same word that you find in the desert wanderings, gogismos. So, now, the Greek-speaking Jews would be the Hellenists. So, they're the Hellenists and the Hebraeus, or the Jews, just means those who spoke Greek and those who spoke Hebrew, or Aramaic, really, not Hebrew. All right? So, in regard to the Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily service. Well, the daily service, you see, means this, it just says in the daily, in our, but it means servant. This is an old Jewish practice. The poor were given food every day. It's amazing to see, although in the cultures where there isn't, what can I say? When I lived in Jerusalem, walking in and out of the Damascus Gate were people walking. And the street was far enough back. And on Friday, it's the Muslim religious day, there would be a whole row of beggars there, mostly blind men, holding out their hands. And everybody, nearly everybody, put something into their hands. Because they were poor, they were blind, you see? So this Jewish practice is daily to take care of those who need it. So what they're saying is that they were overlooked in the service, the daily service, that is, their widows were. Now, there were a lot of widows in that culture because the men, older men, married younger women. So then, of course, they died first. And so the women were there, depending on how well their children knew the law of God, whether they were really getting enough or not. And so that's the problem they've got. They were, in imitation of this Jewish service, the daily service of giving out food, the Greek-speaking Jews weren't getting as much as the Aramaic-speaking Jews. You can understand the Aramaic-speaking Jews had relatives there. This is Israel. Greek-speaking Jews are from Antioch, Rome, wherever, and they don't have people there. So anyway, so the 12. Notice all the titles now. See, notice so the 12. Okay, called the community of the disciples. That is the the group of the disciple. See their names? I mean, they're already got a name. They're disciples. Okay? And they said, it is not right for us to forsake the word of God to serve at table. That's not meaning we're above that sort of thing. That's not. First place, to really serve with the word of God is tougher than serving at table. It takes more work. You get more abuse. I mean, it's harder. They're not saying that. It's just we've only got a certain number of hours in the day, and we want to put it in this diaconia so that the word of God is always alive in the community. Those of us who are preachers now could take a hint from that, right? Is it more important to get the furnace fixed or to have a homily ready? More important to have the homily ready. That doesn't mean you don't fix the furnace, but you might find somebody else to do that. The thing is, it's easier to get the furnace fixed or fix it yourself if you know how than to sit down and pray until the word of God enters your heart and you've got something to say. So this principle is, you see, not right for us to forsake the word of God and serve at table. So, look about you, brothers, for 7 well-attested men from among you, filled with the Spirit and wisdom. Now that's amazing if there's only going to wait on tables, isn't it? It isn't so much wait on tables, but to provide food for the widow. The people who are named, never once in Acts do we hear of them waiting on tables. They probably did, but we hear about Stephen, Philip, preachers. Filled with the Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint for this task, while we will apply ourselves. Now what are the others going to do? Apply ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. That's pretty important, isn't it, Tom? Prosevki, ke ti diakonia tu logo. That's what they're going to do. Prayer and the ministry of the word. Okay? Now this proposal was acceptable to all the community. And again, these are all new words, like, you see. We wanted, this new service and so forth of the word, diakonia of the word, not a diakonia of the bread distribution. And this logos was pleasing to the whole plethos, to the whole group, the whole crowd. So they chose Stephen, a man filled with faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochoros, and Nicanor, and Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, who was an Antiochian proselyte, which means he wasn't a Jew yet. Okay. And so having named all these people, the next thing he says is, they set them before the apostles, and praying, they laid hands on them. This is the gesture by which I want something of me to go over to you. So an apostle doing that, that's ordination. You see? So they are hands laid on them. They are empowered to take care of the peace and good order of the community. And so that there'll be peace there. All right? Now, after that lovely resolution of the problem, Luke tells us, and the word of God grew, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem grew daily. A large number of priests were becoming obedient to the faith. What's the lesson? Why does he add that there? Because unity in the community is always life-giving. If the community is one, it gives life, it embraces life. People come to the community. If there's bickering and headaching, and they don't come, which is not surprising. In other words, the vigor and attractiveness of the living Word of God, which happens when the community is one, which is very beautiful, don't you think? And so he ends that way. So that we'll know that that's where he's going. Wherever there's unity, there's life. But unity costs. It doesn't come easy. We're all different. We all have different ideas. And if you're going to stick to them and never out of love, you're not going to come to a situation like this early community. Okay, now, this is the psalm. It's Psalm 33. Exult, you just in the Lord. Huananu, which is, well, it's one of those words in the Sadikim. Praise from the upright is fitting, huh? Give thanks to the Lord. Hodu. I think I haven't used this. This word, yada, not the word for no, but a word spelled with an H at the end, yada, means to acknowledge, to confess, to give thanks. For instance, Hodohu ladonai ki tov ki la'olam hasto. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his mercy endures forever. But you see, underlying this word is this notion of acknowledgement. Hadda, or toda, in modern Hebrew, toda rabba means thank you very much. But it's like, I acknowledge that you've done something for me. So, this is, that this, you see, giving thanks to the Lord means acknowledge what he's done for us. In my life, I've never met a very holy person who wasn't very grateful to God. They oozed it, they spoke it, they acted it, just, they lived it. They were grateful to God. Whether they'd been suffering or not, they were grateful to God. And on this 10-string line, now, upright is the word of the Lord, and all his works are trustworthy. He loves kindness, and you can guess what these words are, right? He loves tzedakah and mishpat. And the kindness of the Lord fills the earth. Finally then, the eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear him, upon those who hope for his kindness, to deliver them from death and preserve them in spite of famine. Now, of all the lines in the psalm, which one most, you know, draws from the first reading? That last line about being preserved from famine. If you have a lot of food and I don't have any, and we don't split, I get famine. When does that stop? When people love the Lord and give to each other. Then that's the end of famine.